All right, we're back. Here we go again. And Chris soon starts talking, starts banging around like he's playing drums on Susudio by Phil Collins. We're back with another sheep farm podcast. Starts coughing or doing something anyway, just so I've got to edit it all. Format is simple, and I'm going to say this because we've had a few messages this week from people. I think they've been drinking too much in sun or banging their head against the wall, forgotten what the actual format is. But anyway, here goes. Four shows a month. Members get full podcasts plus download. Non-members get part one. All new shows are released on Saturdays. Quite simple to follow up to pressing it. It's not that sort of like NASA type scientist type brain mentality. You need to follow it all. You can always find all the podcasts, and that's sarcasm, by the way, on sheepfarm.co.uk. Sheepfarm.co.uk. Right. We also put part one on Podomatic. And we also send them out to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google, and Dapple Podcasts. We also put the first hour on Odyssey and Rumble as well. And there you go. So when I get emails or messages from people saying, where do I find all these podcasts and stuff like that? Just listen back to that in beginning bit, please, if you would. Be so kind. Soul-destroying. Fucking soul-destroying. But anyway, please subscribe to the website. You get email notifications. That's another way to get reminded as well. For all the new shows, I'm starting to sound like Basil Falter, where he gets guests in, right, or listeners, and starts having a go at them. It's good, isn't it? Joining me as usual is our Chris.
Yeah, good evening. I've got a bottle of witch piss, yes. It's already open, though. I opened it last night.
Did you? When you say already opened, do you mean you finished a full bottle last night and started on the second one?
Yes.
I rung you yesterday and he said you've had a bad day. And I thought it was just a bad day. Then I realised you were hammered on Sunday because some people came round. So what you're saying is that half a bottle you had yesterday and you started on that one, that means you had two bottles day before, two and a half or whatever it was.
I can't remember. I was drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, the upcoming releases we've got are, we released the second No Plumbers Allowed, which was on YouTube as well. Managed to get that on YouTube. We're also releasing, I think it'd be not this Saturday that you listen to this, but the week after. We're also releasing the second part of that, which is about another couple of hours, but it's mainly about Dom Jolly, actually. I think you're going to find that pretty interesting. Done an hour and a half genealogy, roughly, deep dive on Dom Jolly's family. I'll just give you a bit of an insight into one of them. One of his family was one of the founders, or the founder members, directors, governors of the Bank of England in the late 1600s. That's Dom Jolly's family. Just give you an insight into who his background is and who he's actually
possibly working for.
Yes, I know. By telling the truth.
He's still not funny, but he's a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. He's funny as a dead arm from Mike Tyson. But I'd like to thank everybody who buys supplements off me, vitamin C and all the other stuff. Remember to use the code, though, because I do get people ordering that don't use the discount code. You get 25% off the sheep farm. Can I finish? All right. 25% off just before my younger brother just butts in. I keep calling him younger brother. He's an old bastard. He's 50. And he's still doing it. Grey beard. Grey beard. Three strands of hair on top of his head.
You like the sound of your own voice too much.
Also, if you look at the notes in the bottom, I always put a link in for Richard D. Hall's donation information as well to Rich Planet for his legal case. And that's about it, really, for the intro. We're recording this on Tuesday, right at the start of the England game. That's how much we give a shit about England. Didn't know it were on until a second ago. Not even know who they're playing.
I didn't know we're on there. Well,
don't lie, Christian. You were out there thinking, will Harry Kane play? Go on, say it. Who the fuck's Harry Kane?
I have never heard that human being mentioned before in my
life. Well, we're going to welcome as guests before we move on. We've got Phil from...
Hang on a minute, Obed. You told me to let you finish.
You're insignificant.
I've sold a few of my Gaping Gob sculptures to sheep farmers this week.
Right.
So shout out to them. Yes.
Yeah.
And also, same as you, you can get a discount with my sculptures if you put sheep farm and you get 10% off.
What's your discount? If you just put sheep farm on, is it like sheep farm nostrils or something?
Dom's a wanker.
Right, that's it. I like that one even better. You get bigger.
Well, I'll send you one for free.
Yeah. Send you one for free if you put that into code, even if it's wrong.
Yeah. Dom's a knobhead.
So we've got Phil anyway from the Amish Inquisition.
Who?
How do, Phil?
Who? The Amish what?
Amish. Whatever. Inquisition.
Yeah, I know, I'm just thinking what most people are thinking. Who?
Acquisition. It sounds like very Alan Sugar, isn't it?
It does a bit.
Do you know call Christian Alan Brown Sugar?
In fact,
when he goes all business on me.
My missus said I look like Alan Sugar and Tom Jones's love child.
Yeah, you do. Does look
I can see it now. You're a bit too tall, though.
Probably a bit too tall.
He won't a compliment.
No. I've wrote something down. Do you know Chris is always going on about how I insult him and it hurt his feelings?
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's weird because when we were coming on before you joined us, Phil, he said something to his missus, right? He said, what did you say, you dateless mare?
Dateless
mare? So, and I said to him, maybe your wife's got, sensitive feelings, Chris. What are you calling her that for? It's weird, isn't it, Chris? How it sort of comes back to bite you.
I didn't swear at her.
That's calm with that.
He wrote it down as I said it. Do the podcast, you dateless man.
So it's not the acquisition, sorry. It's the Inquisition. It sounds all right, acquisition, though.
It does, yeah.
You've actually bought Amish people.
Maybe we'll change it. It's only you can change it after 334 episodes, can't you?
No, a bit late now, Phil, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm here to bring you two down to earth. I've seen you two. James Dellingpole.
Yeah.
Mixed with the hope alone, what? Yeah.
So we had to get you in, Phil, just to balance it out a bit.
That's what I'm good at, man. Yes, I'm like about as flying brick.
Yeah.
Tell everyone about your Amish Inquisition.
We're not having doing all that, are we? Fucking hell. I'll tell you what I will tell you, which is topical, which you didn't know about me, is my dad is a plumber.
Ooh. Is he really?
Yeah, my dad was a plumber, yeah.
He's not called Mario, is he?
He's not called Mario, no, he's called Eddie. And he was also a Freemason. So swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
you can't win them all.
Talking of that, right, my mate Crabclaws, he sent me a podcast of David Icke. David Icke was saying this on this podcast about, I'll get back around to why I'm talking about that and plumbers and Freemasons and stuff. Because he said for years, generations, I've been, last 30 years or whatever, been talking about all this stuff. And now people are starting to say that I'm actually like working for MI5 and MI6 and calling me out. So people have actually been educating now are saying that.
Calling him a Freemason.
Yeah. I can't say I'm a fan of David. I've not got any of his books. I've listened to a lot of his stuff. I know Chris has, but I can't say I've ever listened to him and thought what he's talking is nonsense either. It's just that you always go to your go-to people, don't you? And Chris liked David. I went in other directions, but
you like what you like, don't you?
I can't ever say I've ever heard him say anything that I thought, well, that's a bit suspect.
Right, yeah. I've only seen a few interviews and heard a few podcasts like you. I've not read any of his books. I think you've got to be careful with hero worship in this game.
Yes.
Some of these figures get put on a pedestal.
Yes.
And that's an easy way to, co-opt and divert people.
We're only human, aren't we? What I mean is, people who do podcasts are no, well, us type of characters are no different from the even James, you talk to James, you talk to James, he's no different from any of us. Yeah. You know what I mean? You've got a plum in your mouth, James. Anyone else would say, as and all.
Hey,
we've been dragged up.
I listen to Delling Pod regularly, and he introduced me to you guys. I wouldn't have heard of Sheep Farm. It's unlikely I would have heard of you until he mentioned it on your podcast. I tried to find it. I couldn't fucking find it anywhere.
Yeah. Sheepfarm.co.uk.
Because I don't know if you were on Spotify at the time. Have you been on Spotify since the beginning?
Podomatic.
That's where main thing is, yeah. So I might have just gone to Spotify, can't find it. Or I found some other sheep farm related podcast and thought, fuck me, I'll listen to that.
Well, then weirdos. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, so you guys introduced me to Rise Above. You mentioned Rise Above, and that's how it works, isn't it? Word of mouth is the main thing. Yeah. But, so, yeah, I've never against Dylan Paul. I'm only messing.
I know you are, only taking piss. And that is how it should be, you know. So, going back to what we're saying, I told a story once where when I first started in business, I started up with the Prince's Trust. Obviously, talking like early 90s here, right? Anyway, roll on 10, 12 years, I rented an office with another business. And who owned the building but a guy who used to be the vice chairman of the Yorkshire Prince's Trust. Anyway, he invited me to do a talk at his Rotary Club. At the time, I didn't know what a fucking Rotary Club was, right? I didn't know what it was, just some club. I was ill as well. I had fucking Lyme disease. I didn't want to do it, so I didn't do it. And he asked me three times, then never asked me again. Right, I thought, it's a bit strange. Now I understand why he asked me three times and never did it again. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is, I told that story and everyone goes, bloody hell, that were you being invited in to the lower echelons, if you like. Yeah. But also, then you get other people saying, you told that story, that means something else. That means you're really involved with it. You know what I mean? You're really part of that.
Yeah.
Why would he have fucking told it? Why would he have told it?
Yeah, Illuminati confirmed, just for admitting to the story, you know. People want to jump on it. It's like the whole controlled op thing. People get carried away with that. We're not saying it doesn't exist. We all know it exists.
Yeah.
But
Tom Jolly, go on.
Yeah. There's plenty. You know, we're guessing half the time.
Someone accused
us of being... You can't rule on man.
Someone accused us of being... Yeah, we used to ride horses. I don't think I ever got that connection.
No.
I were a butcher and they used to ride horses. Right?
Wow. Right, yeah. Yeah,
working for the man then, aren't you?
Oh, 100%. All that manure. Yeah, just gives it all away, doesn't it? But you're right, a lot of the stuff, we're trying to link dots and see interesting things. And some of the stuff you can say, yeah, that definitely quite shady. There's several things that stand out to me when you do research on people. Is they're generally involved in genealogy, or genetics, sorry, eugenics.
Yeah.
The genealogy stands out, you know. They've got some sort of intelligence links. There's several things that always stand out that none of us probably ever have. You know what I mean?
What about that? Yeah. What about that? We've been doing that. We were doing some stuff on the Huxleys again the other day. And about six people involved in it were all zoologists. Zoologists.
Thomas Huxley was a zoologist. Chris.
No, but what I mean is everyone in that thing we did the other day, and they were, you know, not directly related. A lot of them were zoologists. I just thought it was quite odd. Let me tell Phil that story about that. What is it? Because we were doing the Huxleys the other day, and how did Chris Packham come into it? I can't remember how he came into it.
What I'm doing is the genealogy of Thomas Huxley's children and all their offspring have filtered out into society. And one of them was a guy called Sir Crispin Tickle.
If that's not a fake name, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, there's a lady called Dame Emma Tickle as well. Yeah. So this Tickle family is directly related to the Huxley family, right?
And the Mr. Strong family.
but they're directly related to the Huxleys, and he was also high up in a few charities. One of them was Tree Aid, where a character called Chris Packham worked in this Tree Aid, worked on kids' television when we were
really wild. Show, do you remember that? You remember really wild show?
Sorry, Nutkins, Michaela Shrinkin, and Chris Packham.
Do you remember the blonde guy with the spike? Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Packham,
That's Chris Packham. CBE. Chris Packham, CBE.
Don mentioned him to me, and I was like, there's a reason I'm not too keen on him, and he's all for climate, global, whatever, and he was pushing the jib-jab, and bearing in mind he used to be a kids presenter, so there was that. And then Don went on and mentioned that he's got a sister called Jenny Packham, right, who designed a lot of Kate Middleton's dresses. And just as a side note, I said to Don, I don't know if he said it on the show or after, I said, I wonder if she designed that bloody... Rosemary's Baby one. You know, do you remember when she came out in that dress? And it were exactly, I don't know if anyone didn't know this, when Kate Middleton gave birth to one of her kids, she came out and she had on a dress and it were exactly a replica of the one that what's her name wears in Rosemary's Baby. Rosemary's Baby is a film by, where she's basically giving birth to the Antichrist. And she was wearing the exact same dress. So I said to Dom, I wonder if that Jenny Packham designed that dress. And she did. She designed that Rosemary's Baby dress that she came out. So it's either a joke or, well, it's either a joke. She's giving birth to Antichrist. Or it's just some weird. Anyway, I don't know if you got this as well, Phil. And Dom got it and I got it. People sending us stuff. When she re-emerged, Kate Middleton, recently, she was wearing a black and white dress with a big hat on. And people linked it back to Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady when she's singing London Bridge is Burning Down. Anyway, Jenny Packham also designed that one as well. No. So the same woman designed the two, whatever it means when she was in My Fair Lady and she's saying London Bridge is Burning Down, which is code for the Queen's died as well, isn't it?
That's right. That was the code name.
I know nobody will see it, but that's the dresses we're talking about.
Yeah, because she said she was inspired by Princess Di's dress, but the only inspiration there is that it's red. The real inspiration is clearly from Rosemary's Baby. I mean, my missus said when she gave birth to that child when they were on TV, my missus, she has not given birth to that, because we just had a nipper. She had no weight on her at all. She was just like a wraith. So are they literally...
It wasn't born, it was spawned.
Yes.
Yeah. By a jackal.
Split out some giant egg. Like aliens.
Who knows? Yeah.
was that George then? The Rosemary's
Baby? I can't remember. I don't know which one.
Who's first one? I don't know first one. Is it William first one?
I don't know.
Puts if I know.
I don't know. I don't, not into royal family at all.
Behind you, all the commemorative royal family cups.
Oh, that tankard with me darts in.
Yeah. One.
Yeah. Matching set of arrows.
Oh, yeah, for two in a bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you doing the royal family? They're well into it.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was quite juicy and interesting.
That's the thing is, going back to what Phil said earlier, that a lot of it's guesswork, right? And you're putting the dots together. For instance, Katie Hopkins, right? Katie Hopkins was sponsored through university by military intelligence.
You need to explain who Katie Hopkins is, because I've never heard of her.
Yeah, you'd never heard of her. You know who Katie Hopkins is, don't you, Phil? You've heard of her.
Yeah, gobshite.
Yeah, she was sponsored through Sandhurst and university by military intelligence.
She came to prominence through The Apprentice, going back to Alan Sugar.
That's correct, yes.
She was on The Apprentice.
I know this now, but I didn't know it before.
Yeah. Oh, right, sorry. About 10 years ago, I guess. And she kind of disappeared, but she tried to make a name for herself. She was known at the time when she was on the show for being a complete twat. Mm. And no one liked her.
She carried that on.
Yeah, yeah. It just comes natural to some people, doesn't it?
Like, everyone's like that on The Apprentice, aren't they?
Yeah, well, this thing, they pick them for that. I'm a Sparky by day job.
Yeah.
And every year, you have to be in like a trade membership group to be able to sign off jobs and whatnot. And every year I get, it's called a surveillance visit, where the inspector comes round and he has to look at all my all jobs I've done and all my certificates. And I have to take him round two jobs and show him my work and, you know, make sure I've been a good boy and whatnot. And about when was it? It was before the nonsense, before COVID hit.
Before COVID hit.
I had my inspector around and he sat me down. And for some reason, we got talking about TV. And his wife was a contestant on The Apprentice.
Right.
And he was telling me all about it, about how the producers used to fuck with them.
Yeah.
Just to make them look as foolish as possible.
Yeah.
Poking, prodding. And he would tell me all about it. I was already sort of rabbit hole on most things. I'd stop watching TV and all that. But yeah, it just sort of spelled it out. Hearing it from the horse's mouth, like someone who's married to someone who actually went through it.
Yeah.
Is your wife horrible then? horrible, nasty.
How does it go?
Well, what mare?
Is she a dateless mare? Yeah,
dateless mare.
Nasty mare.
Yeah. She's a dateless mare.
Go on, Katie Hopkins, fight yourself.
Go on, back. Yeah, go on.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, how many of our mates, right, anywhere you know, have been sponsored through college, university, Sandhurst, by military intelligence.
I struggled to get sponsored to do a frigging 5 meter swimming badge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I remember going around
just life-saving. Badge.
I was filling my fucking bathtub full of baked beans. I couldn't get sponsored. Yeah, I might sponsor through Sanders.
But there's a backstory to that, right? And not that I know this, but this is the bit where you're joining the dots. Who would come up to you from military intelligence and go, "Hi, I'm military intelligence. I'm going to sponsor you through college." What had she had to have done at that point to actually warrant being sponsored by military intelligence to go to spend money on her to put her through university?
Yeah, well, James talks about this sometimes, doesn't he? Because he was at Oxford, was he, at Cambridge? Yeah. And
we should have invited him on. He'd have fit in right with us, lads.
But he talks about how, you know, they have people set up there in position ready to start grooming, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
Grooming people.
But it's the right word.
He told us it was an MI6.
It's the same in America as well. There's George Washington's one of the main ones in America. That's where the Secret Service start grooming people. It's right. Spook Central.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and it's Oxford and Cambridge over here, mate, in the main.
It makes
sense. Well, they're looking for the brightest and the best, so they think, don't they?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, not necessarily, or the most either psychotic or ones they know will go along with the plan. I mean, Boris Johnson's dad was another one, wasn't he? He even had a suit made with a gun holster in it on Savile Row, but decided not to take the job. But yet has done everything in his life that warrants being in some sort of intelligence. Plant.
And then his son repeats the plot of the Kingsman. Kingsman 2. Do you remember that? Have you seen that film?
I've not seen it, no.
Kingsman 2, where they're all secret agents, and they basically make a disease and then come out with a remedy that makes you ill. Right.
That will never happen, Chris. Never take off that. No.
Wouldn't sound familiar at all.
Not in the slightest. But so a lot of these characters. There was an American intelligence agency. I think it was the CIC. I think it was. I can't remember what it stands for. But who was its dad? Was in it? The Copelands. That Miles Copeland Senior was. He had the highest level clearance on D-Day, called Bigot. Ironically, yeah. Miles Copeland Senior, and he was in this other intelligence agency called CIC, and when I looked at the list of people that was actually worked for this group during World War II, and he had like the German Chancellor on it within after the war, in the Cold War, you had actors, lawyers, all these people that were working undercover for the intelligence agents, then went just back into normal life, became Pulitzer Prize winners, Hollywood stars.
was he Stuart Copeland's dad?
Yes.
From the police, the drummer in the police.
He ended up being station chief in the Middle East, did Miles Copeland Sr., doing coups and coup d'etats in, I think, Iran and a few different places. And then, obviously, and Stuart Copeland's mother was an intelligence agent, a British intelligence agent who worked behind the lines with the French resistance. And then she became an archaeologist.
As you do. Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't know why we're going to all that stuff, but like Chris is all these characters. We're just talking about that lady there that makes these dresses, right? So you've made a dress that looks exactly like that dress there, that looks exactly like a dress that was used in a film about the spawning of a devil. Why would he actually make that dress like that? Because she must have known that somebody was going to talk about that. And also, that's the same building where John Lennon were killed, isn't it?
Yeah,
Dakota.
Well, where they film Rosemary's Baby, yeah.
Is it?
And also, if you think about what happens to her in Rosemary's Baby, she ends up giving birth to the demon child, having sex with a demon. She doesn't know what's going on. She basically gets tricked into it, basically, and then she basically uses a breeding mare, which is what Princess Di and. I'm not saying she was. Maybe Kate Middleton was. Maybe that's the point. I don't know. Who knows what goes on in these people? But I don't know. Maybe there's to get us nut jobs talking about it. Who knows? Because I think there is.
Well,
a bit that goes
I was just going to say it could be just sluice harvesting.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just attention seeking. It could be total diversion. Yeah, you just don't know.
I think there's a lot of that going on these days, Phil. A lot of diversion and a lot of stuff. I think. But what I mean is, I think there's some of it's put there for us nut jobs as that. Obsessing about, and sometimes it's just not necessary because it's a nothing.
Yeah, I think if it's one
or maybe
dress,
she spawned a demon child.
when it's just one dress like that, you could see people saying that could be a coincidence. But when it's happening twice, it sort of stretches credulity. Then you've got to say, you know, it's not by accident. This, it's the same designer. There's a game going on.
So I know you'll have been asked this, Phil, but why the Spanish? I won't call it acquisition. Inquisition. why the Amish Inquisition?
I don't know. It's like trying to name a rock band.
And you never gave me a straight answer.
No, we don't do that. It's hard work coming up with a podcast. I mean, it's sort of easy. I suppose it came easy for you because that's your background, you know, sheep farm, and it ties in with the sheep, the NPC, all the rest of it. It's perfect. Whereas
everyone listens as a sheep farmer, though. They're not sheep, by the way.
Yeah, Verdus, yeah. But I think it's kind of, it's not very clever, really, is it? It's just a play on this.
Yeah, it's your name, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to call yourself something. And I like Monty Python. I like the Spanish Inquisition sketch.
Mm. Yeah.
And the Amish are famous for, you know, not...
basically
not...
sticking tools up how the world lives.
Yeah, so there's that connection. There's the irony in that they don't use technology, so an Amish podcast is kind of oxymoronic.
Yeah.
And that's about pretty much it, really.
It just felt comfortable.
Well, it just is what it is. I don't really like it, but it is what it is.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
I said I don't like it. I don't like the name. It's a mouthful.
Ring. I tell you what to do. Ring Saatchi and Saatchi up. Right? Do a rebrand. Yeah. We want to come up with a new name, right? But I don't think you should change it anyway. You are.
Can I afford them, Dom?
No.
No. Shit.
Well, Damien Hirst can. I think they're pushing all his art, aren't they? If you call it art. Who's that woman that just got a dame hood as well, Chris?
Not Tracy Emin.
Yeah, Tracy Emin just got a dame hood for putting that Johnny on a bed. Whatever she did.
Destruction. Everything's got everything. I was saying to Dom before, I think everything's got destroyed, hasn't it? And I think the art industry was like the precursor to it all. And then you know, in the 50s and 60s, really bad modern art. And now it's got to a point where it's really... You know, there's one down the train station near me, right? And you know, if you... I actually thought it were a joke, right? You know, and it's a permanent statue in the train station. You know, if you cover a statue before you reveal it in a cloth and then you whip it off, you're like, da-da, there's a statue. You know, like when Sausage Fingers pulled it off his painting where he was bathing in red blood. So, you know, like that when they pull it off. But this is made out of stone and it's got the cloth over it, but that's the sculpture. Oh, how clever are you? So there's no sculpture. It's just a sculpture of a cloth over a sculpture. And that's it. Wouldn't you drive to see a fucking sculpture?
Honestly. What was that one that got unveiled recently? And it was like, it looked like someone eating someone out.
Really?
Have you not seen that one? It went viral a while back. Yeah. It looks like someone's got their head buried between someone's legs.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Someone will know who's listening.
And the LGBT as well, I bet, no doubt.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So slowly destroyed the art industry, didn't they? And then you've got from, you know, if you think from Rodin to now, we've got Tracy Emin putting a bed with a Johnny on it. And they've done the same with the music industry, the film industry, architecture. Everything's been downgraded, hasn't it? To a point where there's zero talent involved, it seems.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Demolition Man. Have you ever seen Demolition
Man?
Yeah,
great film.
Fucking hell. Yeah. I've not watched it for a few years, but it must be.
I watched it about a year or two ago. Yeah.
Did you? Was it frightening?
Yeah, it was. It was just saw it in a different way, where all the meat eaters live
different,
underground.
Right, yeah.
And is it Taco Bell? Is like a fine dining restaurant.
it's the only restaurant that survived the apocalypse. Right. It's just like a dystopian. We've had the dystopian fall of Western civilization, and we've had the communist takeover, where you get all these NPCs wandering around with like gender non-specific smocks. Pastel coloured moo-moos. And what's the music? It's all jingles. They all, like, one of the cops, he says, this is my favourite song. And it's all they play on the radio is advertising jingles, just messaging, just propaganda. And there's another thing reminding me of it the other week, because I was reading, someone sent me a Medium article, and it was about AI chatbots taking over mental health professionals. And so rather than going to see a CBT cognitive behavioral therapist. You'll chat to this AI bot and it'll sort you out. And there's a scene early on in Demolition Man where one of the NPCs comes over to this, like, it's like a booth in the street, like a terminal. And he's telling the computer about how bad he feels, how sad he is, and the computer terminal's giving him like positive reinforcement, positive advice, and shit like that. Like, it's fucking happening, man. It's happening.
It's happening.
We're not there, aren't we?
You what are you about Demolition Man, Chris?
No, I think we just Stallone film. I forget. I think he's a famous producer. I can't remember who directed.
Was it Soderbergh? Is it Peter Soderbergh?
I can't remember.
It's a pretty well-known director.
Is it? I can't remember.
But it's a great film.
Well, it's a great film for Stallone's
rehash, wasn't it? That was his comeback film, wasn't it, basically? I tell you what I watched a bit of last night. I can only seem to watch films in like three parts. But I wanted to watch it. It's on Amazon, The Pod Generation, it's called. And it's about literally about fucking Huxley's wet dream, they should have called it. It's about people giving birth in pods and carrying them around and being chosen, you know, and you've got to have enough money to be able to do this kind of thing. So no one gets pregnant anymore. And it's in a mile. The husband of this woman, he's reluctant to go along with it. But what reminded me, Phil, when you were talking is, in that, the psychiatrists are AI. And it's literally an eyeball on a wall. It's just an eyeball staring at them on a wall, giving them advice. And that's
going
that's
back the to Demolition Man. Sex has been outlawed. There's no physical sex. Yeah. Sandra Bullock and Stallone put the VR headsets on.
Or Sandra Bollock, because she's known.
Sandra's bollocks. Yeah, she's visibly disgusted when Sly wants to smash it. It's like, no, we don't do that. We don't do that anymore. We go to a lab and we procreate that way. There's just so much in it. Like salt.
Everything,
he goes to Taco Bell, which is the monopoly of restaurants. Someone purses the salt. Like, salt's illegal. And you've got the swearing. You know, every time he curses, he gets fined. Like, you've been fined 2 imperial credits for violating the code of conduct. It's just, it's mental how accurate it is. And like, we're like halfway, I think. We're about halfway there.
Well, a lot of it's there, just in a slightly different way, isn't it?
And
it's that dystopian future that everyone's accepted as well. It's like, it is the Huxley version of a dystopian future, isn't it? There's no violence.
It's actually worse, Chris, because at least we had the 90s and the 2000s to live through.
the story is,
here now.
It's true. The story, is, if I remember, is it's got Wesley Snipes in it, and he defrosts from a cryogenic chamber. And he's so bad because he's from the 90s or whatever, but they need a 90s cop, so they defrost Sylvester Stallone. But it is a very clever film. I would watch it.
They don't know how to deal with him. They don't know how to deal with him. They defrost this gangster from the 90s who was like a terrorist or whatever. And the cops have not had to deal with violent crime for 2 decades. And the guy goes up to Wesley Snipes and he's reading the training manual on a tablet. How to deal with a violent criminal. It's so good. But the reason they defrost him, it's the what do you call him? The sort of Klaus Schwab figure.
Yeah.
Cocteau, he's called. You know, Cocteau twins.
Oh yeah, Raymond Cocteau.
Yeah. It's called Raymond Cocteau. And he defrosts Simon Phoenix, who rises from the ashes.
Yeah. And the Phoenix program.
Phoenix Nines.
Phoenix program.
He defrosts a phoenix to assassinate the leader of the resistance. That's his one job.
Which is
ironically, the Phoenix program were about serial killers, wasn't it?
Yeah. We were after Vietnam, where in the Phoenix program they were getting the most psychotic soldiers to carve up locals and leave them lying in the street to freak out the. According to Viet David McGowan's book, the Viet Cong, and then apparently they brought the Phoenix program back to America, which is the modern day serial killer. Which fucking hell. If you haven't read that book, I recommend it, Phil. What's it called? Program to Kill.
What's
Dave
the
McGowan.
What's it?
Dave McGowan, Program to Kill. It's a guy who wrote. I've got it there actually. It's the guy who
Weird
wrote
Scenes in the Canyon.
Weird Scenes in the Canyon.
Right, yeah. So that's is that Laurel Canyon?
I prefer Program to Kill myself. I think maybe, I don't know, I think maybe because we were brought up in, you know, we went through the 80s and serial killers were a big thing, weren't they? And you know, you saw
them all the rage. All the rage, yeah.
Can't beat a good serial killer. But we witnessed them. I mean, we were in Huddersfield when Yorkshire Ripper were on the prowl. We literally told to go home. I mean, in Leeds, they were doing lockdowns, believe it or not. And I remember because our mum had an argument with my dad and she walked 10 miles to my Auntie Caff's in Dewsbury. And I was shitting myself because Yorkshire Ripper were on the loose at the time. And then she rang up the next day and said, she walked 10 miles to my dad's sister's and said, can you tell your dad to come and pick me up? And asked my dad, and he said, tell her to fucking walk back, she walked back.
Proper Yorkshire actor. So think, he didn't say, tell her she's a dateless mare.
See, I don't mean to be funny, Fire. I don't mean to be funny. I know, I'm gonna just go back and recap this, right? I don't mean to be funny. I know that you're making out that I'm mean to my wife, right? But should we just recap what
sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. You recap what you called me when I come.
Where this comes from, Phil, is other week, right? I called him some other week and he wrote it down, right?
Yeah. I was just going to... I was trying to let people have a window.
Just before you say it, Chris, right? What this was gentle encouragement, just to build his confidence up, right? I wasn't trying to sort of bring him down or anything like that. It was more to get him to fulfil his potential.
Right.
Yeah, you called me a week. Weak-willed, limp-wristed, arty fucker.
I've heard this before. Did he tell us that on the next one?
On the next one,
probably.
No, and on the next one, I said it was good because you know getting people to have a window into how you really speak to me. And he said, "No, a window into how fucking wet you are, you twat." Right.
Water off his character building, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to do any research for that. Any more fucking character building. My character's well formed, thank you very much.
You got PTSD. Anyway, right, where are we? I knew it would go down this road if you came on. I'm glad anyway. So I've got a video here to play anyway. Emma Bunton. Oh. Before we get into some stuff about new Star Wars that Chris wanted to talk about.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, The Acolyte. I don't know if I haven't watched it, but...
I never said I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. I thought you wanted to discuss The Acolyte, about the woke agenda there.
We can if you want, yeah. I mean, I ain't even watched it. I've given up on Star Wars now. You a Star Wars fan, right?
Star Wars is dead to me.
Yeah.
But this again, I know, and this is probably old ground that people have talked about, but like we're saying about the degradation of bloody art and everything, and they're doing it to the films, aren't they? They're doing it to this.
At this point, you have to assume that Disney's actively trying to destroy the Star Wars franchise. Mm.
They're
trying to get rid of people like us who grew up watching the movies, buying the toys, and all the rest of it.
Slightly obsessed, I'll say. You know.
Yeah, they want rid of us because. Yeah. I've got two lightsabers in this room. Well, in fact, you won't. But I can't turn the camera. But there's a life-size Han Solo in carbonite on the wall here. I'm a fan.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. I don't move the camera.
No, don't move it.
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, send me a picture. Oh, I've got Slave One in Lego in my attic. I've never even opened it.
You know they changed the name of that they can't call it Slave One because you know that's dodgy. Probably Rainbow 2000. I don't know.
Wagwan.
Wagwan. Wagwan fam. We're going to Tatooine.
What's it called now then?
I can't remember. It's called Boba's Spaceship.
All right. Much more catchy.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
But I'm just going to play this Emma Bunton from that talented group of musicians called the Spice Girls.
Just let me see this.
Yeah.
Johnson, and this is a message for the trans youth. We see you, we hear you, we support you, and we celebrate you. You are loved by me and so many people far and wide. I am standing right by your side always.
Apparently, her son, she's been turning him into a girl, apparently, or he's been turning into a girl.
Turning him into a girl.
Well, growing his hair. A bit like you were talking about Megan Fox, remember? Where she was dressing her kids up as girls. My wife that told me this, that she was dressing all her kids up as girls. So she had I think we were about 12-year-old or something like that, wearing girls' shorts, right? Short, yeah.
I have to say, as agendas go, the LGBT whatever agenda, they're fucking not giving up on it, are they? Really, it's continual, isn't it? It's really full force, full steam ahead.
It's central. It's a central pillar, just like the green stuff is.
Why do you think, Phil, in your opinion, why do you think the gender is so pivotal?
That's a great question. I wish I knew.
Because I don't know. I can't really explain it.
The green one's a lot easier because that's control, yeah. Isn't it? You know, carbon
control,
credits,
money,
carbon
power,
tax.
All that stuff, yeah.
All the rest
so
of
is
it.
So it's the three levels.
Of course it is. It's destruction of the family unit. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Right. The fundamental unit of a society is the family. And we've seen it quoted in different works by people like Huxley and his crew that, you know, the imperative is to destroy the family unit. Once you get people isolated like that, they've no one else to turn to but the state. So I would say that that's a good shout for what the sort of end game is.
There's probably 10 reasons, isn't
there? Yeah. And one of the main things is it's an industry now. So I was reading earlier, do you remember the Tavistock got shut down? Was it about 6 months, a year ago, something like that? Mm. So all the former employees have now set up a private company in London doing the same thing. And right. The private sector isn't regulated like the NHS is. Mm. So it's just it's just going
it's
into
just
the private
offer.
Sector.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's how they get away with it, isn't it? The private sector, everything. Because there's no regulation there.
Do you know, I don't have a problem with that, to be fair. I've not got a problem with the private sector.
No, I haven't either.
I'm a small state or zero state kind of guy, personally. Yeah. People have to regulate themselves.
Yes.
So I don't need the state to tell me which gender transition therapies are the best for my child. I can work it out myself.
The issue is, though, we're probably 1, 2, 3... generations down of brain damage, if you like, because I know it sounds a bit fucking mad, this, but after the war, the baby boomers were first mass jabbed, first people who used computers or whatever. Then it were our generations, if you like, and then the kids in the 2000s and what have you. So you've got now these genes being passed on, these damaged goods being passed on, and we're seeing...
Right. I also think the reason they're going full frontal, like full-on, never-ending, you know, bombardment of this LGBT stuff is because they want it to work so bad that they've got to get past those cronies. And kids growing up will never have heard anything else, will they? So they've got that 20... Well,
my youngin in school this week, Chris, was showing a film in school, right? About there were a lesbian lady saying it's all right... apparently she was gay when she was 12 and it's all right to be gay when you're 12. Be a lesbian when you're 12.
Well, I mean,
and what I'm trying to say is,
you don't need to be told that. Well, that's
what I mean. I'm sure gay people do go through that, but
yeah,
the whole rainbow flag is, you know, the brown and the black in there is because of brown people and black people. It's got nothing to do with homosexuality or trans or anything. It's about LGBT and racism. What's that got to do with that? Like, what is wokeism? You know, I was thinking today, what is wokeism? Because wokeism now is like, if you've got tattoos, it's wokeism, apparently. It's like, wow. You've got tattoos, I think, Phil, haven't you?
No, I should do, but yeah. I won't. My body's a temple.
What I'm trying to say is, people who've got tattoos, who I know, who are gorillas who go bodybuilding or whatever, they're not in woke. I want the class woke.
No.
Well, I think just... woke was for us lunatics, and then it got hijacked, didn't it? I think people used to say woke up to, you know, conspiracy theorists or whatever you want to call it. I think they hijacked it on purpose.
going back to what you asked before about the sort of trans end game, it's just come back to me now. I think Dom might have prompted me with what he said, but it can drift into the transhuman stuff. So, you know, your body can chop and change. You want to bolt on. If you want to bolt on cock, that's fine. Before you know it, you'll be having chips in your wrist to pay for your frigging...
For your Taco Bell.
Your special eyeglasses. You'll be souped up on all sorts of shit to make you super strong or super fast or whatnot. Hormone therapies. It's like extreme body modification, isn't it? Mm. And these people don't seem to believe in the sanctity of the human body. And you can just chop bits out, chop and change it, and do what you want to it, because at the end of the day, life has no meaning. We're just meaningless specks of dust on a rock floating through space, as far as they're concerned.
Have you been watching this nonsense that's been going on? I mean, I don't get this stuff sent to me. I don't watch any of it, so I don't really know I don't know any of Taylor Swift's songs or anything like that. But apparently, everybody went to see her at weekend at Wembley. Keir Starling, Prince William and his kids.
Or his missus
No, she wasn't there, funnily enough. She were taking a picture of him on beach. Have you seen that picture that took him on beach somebody sent me, where they're jumping over the edge of that bush and they're obviously superimposed onto it? What's all that about?
Dominic, you cannot say that. She's a woman with two children and she's got cancer. Bastard.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that why are they so badly taken? Surely with all that clout Pissed behind them. But I take shit pictures, right? I'm useless with a camera, right? It's just I'm just my hands wobble. I'm just shite, right? Probably a good dodgy eye, left eye, that's why. But they'll pay people thousands of pounds to take these pictures and Photoshop them and make them look nice. Makeup artists and all sorts of stuff. Why do they have to Photoshop a picture? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Again, is it to make us talk about it?
Yeah. Well, he's pretty blatant, pretty obvious, isn't it? Maybe it's just a test to see, how big the divide is between your normal folk and your like I've said before, Phil, there's no fence anymore, is there? You're either at one side or you're other. There's no way.
Well, it's the old divide and conquer, isn't it? Mm. Extremism. They call us extremists now. whatever. You can get called an extremist for wearing the wrong colour jeans down I Street these days. I mean, it's lost all meaning, hasn't it? I can't remember who Defence Secretary. Is it Defence Secretary or Home Secretary came out a few months ago?
Homo Secretary.
Homo Secretary. Some twat in Westminster came out and they were bringing out these new terms for online hate and defining what an extremist is. It's like if you don't support democracy, you're an extremist. And you'll end up on some list somewhere with me. That's the way it goes.
It's strange, though, isn't it, that they use this term free speech and democracy when all the time it's being diluted down, that it's actually meaningless anyway.
Yeah, it's a lot of nonsense. I try and not pay too much attention to... Well, I don't pay any attention to politicians, but my life's changed a lot in the last sort of 10 years when it comes to like media like this and news and... music and films and stuff.
Did you have a gradual fall into this stuff, Phil? I mean, I can say that's probably what I did. I know Chris is probably the same track on that one. But did you have a gradual sort of slip into it? Not like one of these 2020s, a wet addict round your face type of situation?
No, I wouldn't say so. And podcasting's got a lot to do with it, I think, because... I was an early adopter with podcasts. I think I listened to my first podcast in 2006, and there was only a handful around. It was a Ricky Gervais podcast.
Right.
He kind of launched the whole podcasting, didn't he, actually, when you think about it? I think, didn't he?
He claimed it. So yeah. One of his early podcasts was called The Podfather, but he isn't the inventor of podcasting is Adam Curry, and he still does a twice-weekly podcast, news deconstruction podcast, this day. In fact, I'm going to make people laugh, but he's connected to the intelligence agencies and he's been on Joe Rogan. So make of that what you will. Mm. And he's the inventor of podcasting, essentially. So I was...
I'm going to say there's also the chance that podcasting was just to round us all up for the robot dogs.
To what?
Round us all up for the robot dogs. To turn up.
The DARPA dogs.
Yeah, the DARPA dogs.
Yeah.
I think we're finding that a lot of this stuff is intelligence based. I don't like the word using intelligence, but anyway, intelligence is the word that we're using. But I mean, again, we've been telling the story over the last few weeks that Jeff Bezos's granddad, Lawrence Guise, G-I-S-E, was one of the co-founders of DARPA.
Yeah.
He was a director of ARPANET, ARPA, the prelude to DARPA. ARPA was ARPANET, that basically invented the internet. And lo and behold, a generation later, his grandson is one of the richest men in the world with one of the biggest online businesses. I mean, obviously, that's just a coincidence.
It's the Advanced Research Projects Agency, yeah. ARPA, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad wasn't a plumber then, no?
Funnily enough, no. or he didn't put sort of suspended ceilings up or all like that either. But
suspended ceilings?
With fluorescent lighting. He didn't do any of that, no. But,
reconditioned kitchen doors?
Yeah, no, he didn't do that neither, Chris. With magnets on, obviously.
I was looking at him yesterday, that's why I want some new kitchen doors.
Right. touch and open, Chris. Go for touch and open. Podcasting invention. If all of this stuff, like Tim Berners-Lee, his mum and dad worked at Bletchley Park and worked on Secret Radar, yada, yada, yada. All these people apparently invented all this stuff. I've all got links back to military intelligence. Would it surprise if podcasting was a million? Even if Ricky Gervais didn't know he was being controlled by someone, he could have been controlled by military intelligence or some intelligence agency, couldn't he? Easily.
I mean, the thing is, it's kind of an own goal, really, because podcasting is totally decentralized.
Yeah,
you can't shut it down. All you need is a server and an RSS feed.
Yes.
And you can distribute information across the world with no barriers.
Yes.
You could say, well, maybe governments could blacklist different sites or whatnot, but there's what do you call them? Where you proxy servers and whatnot, ways of getting around it. But because like one of our mates in Canada who does a podcast, they were getting censored heavily in 2020 and they started self-hosting.
Yeah.
So rather than pay a third party, like we use Podbean.
Yep.
And they host all the stuff. When someone wants to download it, it comes from their servers, wherever they're housed.
Yeah.
The problem is that we're finding out that a lot of these podcast platforms, they're tied to like Bezos, they're tied to Amazon. Amazon Web Services is one of the largest server services on the planet. And so but like you said, like our mates, they managed to set up servers at home or you can there's another guy I know who has server farms in the Philippines and you know, you can use his servers if you wanted to host all your video, all your audio, and you won't be able to be shut down quite so easily.
Yeah.
Whereas iTunes can just decide, I don't like what you're saying, Alex Jones, for example.
Yeah.
And overnight they can switch it off. And that was what was terrifying. That was an eye-opener, was the Alex Jones case, because it was so coordinated.
Yes.
It wasn't just Apple who kicked him off. There was several platforms, all seemingly working in cahoots, who kicked him off, you know, in quick succession. Was it Apple, Facebook, Google, whatnot? And so it sort of rings the bell for you that maybe not take for granted that you're going to be able to do this at some point. You might have to start doing things for yourself, and decentralizing, you know, self-hosting and whatnot.
Well, we decentralized when we first started, really. I realized pretty early on that YouTube weren't the way forward for us, because you just constantly tap dancing one round. All right, it's funny saying I'm Spear and Britney Spears and all this other stuff, but you can't have a full-on conversation. So I don't host all my stuff on Podomatic. As far as I'm concerned, Podomatic, secondary to where we release ours. I serve mine somewhere else. Store our stuff somewhere else. So set our own servers up.
I'd say something quite interesting, and it's on subject, but slightly different. On my, I've got a Sheep Farm Instagram account. I'm not very good on it. I just put drawings on it and stuff like that. But he went over 1,000 followers, and he went up to 1,019, right? When he got up to 1,019, he dropped down to 1,015. And I'm just looking at it now, and it says another guy started following us, but it never goes up more than 1,017. And I've had about a few new people follow, right? And he hasn't gone up over 1,017. And,
well, I mean,
And I can't share messages. If someone, if I see an interesting, so I can't share.
We shadow banned because on YouTube we are. I'm sure Phil's show is as well.
I wouldn't have believed it unless I saw it live in front of my eyes happening. I saw it go from 1,019 down to 1,015. And I'm looking now and it's still 1,000 and someone new's followed us and it still hasn't gone up. I'm not trying to be dramatic.
No, people are getting shadow banned. There's no doubt about it. There's not many businesses as well. I'll use Rise Above as an example. You know, because they do a lot on, and you do a lot on YouTube as well. Normally, when you do a lot of shows, like you guys do a lot of shows, your audience grows with the algorithm constantly. The whole thing on YouTube was the more you put on Instagram, the more followers you get. But obviously, that's not the case for. It's all right if you're walking around in a pair of shoes or something like that, you know. But when you're doing what we're doing, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I can see, like, because you can go into YouTube and look at your stats and stuff, and you can see how often your content is sort of offered to people, and it's like it's totally dead.
Yes,
it's like it ain't happening. But
that's what made me laugh with Dom Jolly. Dom Jolly says all these people. Like us, meaning us, conspiracy theorists, get all his information from YouTube. what that tells me is that these people do not understand the mentality of who they're dealing with.
And also, if you've been in the hole for long enough, you were doing it before YouTube. So
yeah.
How did you?
I were writing something today, Chris and Phil, and the rabbit hole is not the right word, is it? Because the rabbit hole isn't a hole. It's the hole. W-H-O-L-E. And what they don't understand is that we still read books. We still gather our information from the old way, from the book, the analog way. And that's what I was writing, that sometime in, say, I call it Y2K, around probably 9/11, actually, 2001, we went from analog to digital. And when I were in telecoms, it was quite a defining line when it went from analog mobiles to digital mobiles. But around that time, it went mass market because you could take pictures for the first time, send texts and all this time, MMS in and stuff like that. And it were around about that time where everything has gone digital. Everything you see now looks weird because we've still got analog eyes, I suppose, as well, or analog vision of that. Whereas kids that were born past that can only see this digital world that we live in, ironically, around the time The Matrix came out, which were 1999.
Yeah, we're in quite a unique position to be in that generation that remembers life before the internet.
Mm.
And I kind of feel sorry for the youngsters these days, man.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like before the internet, before I hate phones. I hate smartphones and I hate social media. I think life was better before it all.
It was.
But maybe that's just me.
Well, I think that's us, yeah.
I know they're useful for different things, and you know, we
want a mobile phone with texts and you know, text and a phone call, fine. But
that's all you need. I had to sort of finally bend the knee earlier this year. My eldest lad's 12, and he's been blagging us for a fucking mobile phone like they all do. And I finally bent the knee this year, and we gave him an old one. But like I said, Chris, it does text and it does phone calls and that's it. And he's not having any data. He doesn't have any data on the contract. It's just so if I can get hold of him. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I remember when I was 15, 16, when mobile phones were starting to take off. It was like Nokia 3210s. I remember me and my mate saying to each other, there's no way I'm having one of them. I don't want anyone to know where I am any time of day. Whereas now the kids are like, give me, track me, govern me harder, daddy, stamp on me.
Like, well, when
have some independence, man.
The industry, I remember the early adverts because I was working in the industry. The early adverts were like a woman on a moor, broken down with a kid in her arms. It was a Cellnet advert, but you couldn't even get reception. The mobile phone was a total waste of time on the Mullers. There was just no reception. She couldn't have held that and a baby, one of them big Motorola 8000 brick phones.
Wind up one.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right, nobody wanted to be tracked. And it's strange because we went somewhere with my young'un, and he always puts it on aeroplane when he has it in his pocket, right? I said to him, always put it on aeroplane when it's in your pocket. Anyway, but people could track him, not while it was on aeroplane, but when he turned it on, wherever we got to, stayed at a hotel. Oh, how come you're having a day off school and you're in such and such, his mates were saying to him, you know what I mean? But that's automatically set on your phone, that tracking system. Yeah. Mine ain't registered to anything, my phone. No.
I've got a burner flip phone.
Yeah, but go on, sorry, Phil.
I was just going to say, I've heard that you can get sort of off-grid smartphones.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of them. There's a couple of companies that make them, and they take like an old iPhone, but they take an iPhone, they strip all the shit out of it, or Samsung, whatever. And then they reinstall their own software. And apparently, it's sort of, you know, you can be off-grid, you can be untrackable and whatnot. And obviously, you lose some functionality and that. But
I don't use functionality anyway, do you?
Well, this is it. People are willing to give up a lot for convenience in the modern world. You know, if it's convenient, it goes.
I've got a burner phone, but I do have an iPad at home. So I can't preach to anybody because I'm, you know, just as...
In fairness, Chris, I don't think any of us can we? None of us can preach to anybody.
No, we're all in something, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Do you know what it was, though, right? It's not even for the, what is it, you know, whatever EMFs it's given out, whatever. I went on holiday and my missus's dad, he had his mobile phone with him. And I was already thinking this. I was sat in the airport and miss had gone off shopping. And, you know, I was on my phone and then you look around, I looked around and out of 20 people, 18, this is going back a few years, 18 people were on it. And I'm thinking... I'm getting hooked on this. Went on holiday, and my missus says, Dad just threw his phone in the corner in the kitchen. We were staying in Spain for 2 weeks, and it was still there with dust on it 2 weeks later. You know? And I thought, I want to fucking get back to that point. And now I've had a burner for about a flip phone for about 5 years, and I leave it in my car and forget about it. Where's my phone? It's in my car. I forgot about it. I left it in there overnight.
You're well ahead of me. I try and put mine in a different room if I can, sort of in the evenings. I mean, I use it for work, unfortunately, so it's a pain. I need it at work. But when I get home, I try and leave it in the kitchen and try and just leave. If it's in another room, the problem is people have it on them, and then it's just so easy to pick up.
But again, Phil, I've got an iPad, so I've got that with me. But I do me work through it with, you know, Etsy and stuff. So it's
Gaping assholes. Anyway, right, Chris, the reason why I picked this Taylor Swift is that some of the people that went to watch it, apparently it says here in this article, a bizarre phenomenon of amnesia. So they were coming out and didn't even know what they'd experienced. And it weren't just one or two, apparently. There were loads of them, and in America. I mean, I think I'd have had to have amnesia to.
I'm going
to
say maybe it's selective. They've done it on purpose.
How about that? They've been MK Ultra'd into the Stone Age, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it also reminds you that Travis, what's his name, when all those kids dropped? Do you remember?
Yeah. But they even had a psychologist on in the when I read the story, even had a psychologist on there explaining that this isn't a phenomenon. This is an actual thing. Like they get too excited because they're buying a ticket. And they're emotionally attached to and excited to this ticket that they actually forget everything around them and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute, you bought a ticket a month, 2 months before you go to watch them. What's that going to do with it? Yeah. Anyway, one of them said that to confess they have no actual memories of the gig. This is when you read the all the articles, they've got no memory of the gig.
And I would guess that your average Taylor Swift fan's not like a hardcore drug user.
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
Well, I would be if I were a Taylor Swift fan.
More like Larry Grayson.
But that bit you read there, right? That bit you read there.
Shut that door.
It reminds you of, I don't know, I can't help thinking, I know we all talk about the veil's lifting, but it's all, it's because these explanations of them saying, that, you know, they got so they're so outlandish, the explanations. Like that one the other week where they said it was the hottest May on record. But you might not have felt it like it to you, but it was, because we're the BBC. And you,
I know you might not believe me.
You know, you don't believe me. Is this the veil lifting? Is it the fact that it's such bullshit and the excuses are so ridiculous, aren't they?
You know, it was, I mean, it was the hottest.
What does that mean? They were traumatized because they bought a ticket and so they forgot everything. What the fuck is that?
It was the hottest May on record, but only at night when you were asleep.
Yeah, that were it. Yeah, it was at night. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about, you lunatics? That's insanity. Insanity. And people are lapping it up. Is anyone lapping that up? Is people believing that? I don't know.
Yeah, people are believing it. You listen to NPCs, I know you like calling me and that, calling them that. I don't know what else to, wildebeests, whatever you want to call people, right?
I love that one. That's the best. Wildebeests.
But whatever, I can't take credit for that one. I don't know where that's come from, but it's a good name, isn't it? but whatever you want to call people, and it is a bit of a disparaging name, because we were all wildebeests at some point, whether we like it or not. We might have only been 1 or 2 year old, but we were all bewildered.
Yeah, but not at this point where it's fucking blatantly obvious what was going on.
Is it blatantly obvious to us? Because I know we've probably all got books going back into the 80s.
Hang on a minute, 70s, 60s.
Yeah, but after JFK, there were people writing about that within weeks after he got assassinated. Mark Lane were writing about it, you know, saying it were an obvious setup. People calling him nuts. You know, they actually invented the word conspiracy, or the term conspiracy theorists after that.
But what I mean is, if you haven't jumped the fence at this point, when they're telling you that it was the hottest May on record, mainly at night, and that's why you're getting confused, you fucking dickhead. If you haven't realised at this point, I really don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, people just want to get on with their lives, don't they, Chris? The problem is the people. Yeah. We're most of us, and I include myself in it, we're not that hard to look after, right? The controllers know if they give you, again, bread and circus, we'll carry on, right? However, what they're doing now is, that's blatantly obvious, is they are culling and pulling the human race in a direction that's a little bit bizarre, to say the least.
The other thing you've got to balance in is that it's psychologically very damaging to find out that you've been lied to most of your life about things.
Everything.
How far do you want to go? So it's easier for people to just sort of hand wave it away. I'm not going to go there because I've got work in the morning. Oh, I've got that meeting at 9, haven't I? Have I done that presentation? No, I'll think about that another time, you know.
Unless you're Neil Sanders, they can jump back over the fence when you like it and say, I've unwoken up. I'm not awake anymore. I'm back with the CIA stroke, mind control stroke, MI6 stroke narrative again. Miranda, are you coming out? Do you want to go out for a drink at some point and have a really good chat on my podcast?
But one thing I would say is that previous to before COVID happened, it were all right for people to call us lunatics because, you know, what are you going to do? Well, even 9/11, you know, what are you going to do?
That was when conspiracies were fun.
That's when they were fun. Moon landing, what are you going to do? But then when someone's trying to poison you, that's what the build-up to that point was.
That's a big point.
Then you are doing something, then you've got to not do something. That's when you've got it. That's when it's useful, right? So all those lunatics who, you know, didn't get the arms spear. That's what it was building up to, in my opinion. So when people, what I mean is, when I used to drone on about conspiracies 10 years ago, people go, oh, yeah, but what are you going to do? Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do what I'm fucking told. when it's a ridiculousness, you know.
That's a great point. Like, I have a sort of live and let live philosophy. Mm-hmm. I don't really care, you know, as long as people aren't, you know, the government, those wankers in Westminster, I just don't want to know. Just leave me alone. I don't care. You do what you want to do. As long as you're not affecting me and I can get on with my life in relative freedom, that's fine. Yep. But that was the turning point when they placed us all under fucking house arrest. Yeah. It's like, well, hang on. Think you've crossed the line here, boys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the stakes got lifted so much higher that, you know, oh my God, I just can't believe what they tried to get away with. And then, you
I'd say what they did get away with.
Well,
I think they would have got away with more. I think if they weren't a little bit of pushback, I think they'd have continued right through to Demolition Man.